something for the weekend. It's Trina Mari here, and in studio we have got author Etna Shortall. Good morning, Etna.
Good morning.
Welcome back. It's been a while since you were in with your first book.
Yeah, that was 2 years ago.
You've just arrived in and you've got a brand new baby. And I mean teeny, teeny baby.
6 weeks.
You're up and you're dressed and you're washed and you're ready to go.
Both books and babies are a long time in the planning for when they're going to come out. So I didn't quite mean them both to coincide. But the book was in the schedule. You know, the publishers would have decided that a year ago. And then, 9 months beforehand, we also decided when the baby was coming. So you don't necessarily get a say in it. But I was saying to you just before I came on that, he's a really good baby. So I have been bringing him everywhere. We went to London together. He's come to do a couple of interviews with me. He's done signings. And for the most part, he's very well behaved. So he's easy enough to transport.
When you have a baby, everyone says to you, I can't believe that you actually got up today and left your house. It is actually possible. I used to do it all the time. I was still doing my show after I had the baby.
Well, now, when all the publicity stuff is done, we are going to go back to sitting around in our pyjamas.
Okay.
So we are going to do that again.
Congratulations. He's an absolute beaut. It's funny how quickly you forget how to manage a newborn baby, because my little one's only two, as you know, and I lifted up your little man and I was kind of very awkward.
Yeah.
How do you forget?
I cannot believe that. The new parents, people that have had kids for a year or whatever, and they cannot remember how to hold a 1 month old, you know. But I think the psychology of that is interesting, because you must have to erase everything you learned about one phase in order to move on and get the space for how to deal with the next phase, you know. I was saying, even traveling with him, people said, oh, you're mad to be traveling on your own, you know, flying on your own. But I was only going to London, and actually, to me, that seems much easier to travel with a 6 week old than a 2 year old, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Someone that's going to be up out of the airplane seat and running down the
To fly the plane.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's Anna at the moment. Yeah, it's a bit of a nightmare, I've got to say. We've definitely hit the terrible twos.
Yeah.
And the nightmare in the supermarket. Oh, it's all ahead. It's all ahead. So listen, you've got a brand new book. Tell me all about it and congratulations.
Thank you. So it's called Three Little Truths, and it's about this suburban middle class road in Dublin and these three women that have moved into the road around the same time, and they all have their own secrets or their own little truths that are hidden. The main focus is on a character called Martha, who gets all the neighbours talking because she seems to have moved in out of nowhere overnight with her husband, and they've got their teenage daughters into the local secondary school, even though the school is oversubscribed and several of the neighbours can't get their kids in. Yeah, and the principal lives on the road, so this gets everyone's back up. And so the story is kind of about why Martha moved and the secrets on the road, and actually how these three women's lives are intertwined. And then there's a scandal up at the school, and so that kind of feeds into the road and propels the action further. But the whole story is framed with WhatsApp group messages. So the women on Pine Road, they have this WhatsApp group. So all the neighbours, the female neighbours, they set up the group supposedly to organise their monthly poker games. But it's not about poker. It's about gossip. Yeah, it's about the gossip. Exactly. And I think that's the case with a lot of these groups. And so every couple of chapters, you see the WhatsApp conversation between the neighbours and the passive aggression in that. And then all the usual concerns about parking, and someone gets their newspaper delivered and now they think someone's stealing it and hasn't been there a few mornings. And all these little petty things. But then they're also talking about this new neighbour, Martha, and where she's come from, and does anyone know anything about her? And I just the WhatsApp thing is just a great way to frame a story.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. It's so relatable to people, isn't it? Because there are so many WhatsApp groups going around. They were talking about this in the breakfast show the other day. They were saying there's literally a WhatsApp group for, will we go see a movie tonight?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Why
can't
you just ask somebody? You don't need to set up a group for this.
Yeah, I know. I'm in so many groups. And actually, I just realised a couple of days ago, I have me and my partner and then two friends, a couple. I was we actually have three different groups with three different names that just us is in. What's the point of that? You set up a new group to organise everything. And the residence groups are, so we bought our first house last year and we joined the Residents Association. I am interested, but I also thought it would be good for book material. And they have a WhatsApp group. Now, I just can't stand the constant pinging.
Oh my God, I wonder, are you living on the same road as me?
Do you have this? See, that's it. My mom has it as well. And loads of people. I mean, I think that's a thing. Everyone has.
Somebody dropped a sweet wrapper outside number 24.
Well, yeah, a lad
kind of
in
thing.
A hood hanging around outside a shop. This is the kind of stuff you get. And you get the Facebook groups that are kind of the same. And I just, just, so Colm, my partner, is in our residence WhatsApp group, because I'm like, no, I just can't take all the messages, but I am always looking over his shoulder trying to see what's being talked about.
I keep seeing people leaving all the time, leaving the conversation. It's just too much sometimes, isn't it?
I know, but leaving just seems so insulting, you know?
It's rude. Yeah, but I kind of can't take it anymore.
Yeah, I am in a couple that just go on and on. And I'm like, I've been in them too long and I don't know how to get out of them. And I put up with my family one because I get pictures of my niece, you know, and like that, it's mainly baby pictures in that one. But any of the other groups, I'm just, there's no need to send so many messages, you know?
Yeah. So we're very nosy. So this book, you know, it's all about talking about the neighbours and who she is and where she came from. As a nation, we're very nosy people, aren't we?
I actually thought that was interesting because it's very Irish. I mean, it's set in Dublin and it's just how you write and it's the vernacular that I know and that. But the book was BBC Radio 2's book club book for this month, and I went over to do the show and they had members of a book club who had read the book on the radio and they were talking about it, and they were English obviously, and one of the women was like, I just don't understand why you'd want to know everyone's business, you know. What? That's like human nature. That's like being a neighbour. Everyone is really nosy. Even if you don't think you are, sometimes I think, oh, I'm above that, but I'm not. I see someone parking outside my house and I want to know who they are and where they're going and why they're leaving the car there. And, you know, like, it's just.
My sister is even nosy when it comes to my neighbours, and she doesn't even live on the road. She's like, oh, such and such over there, do you see they got a new car? The young lad is going to private secondary school. I wonder which school it is.
Or like the other thing, which I've taken from real life and put in the book, is that people saying, oh, I noticed, you know, you changed your car, like, to someone, like, meaning, did you come into some money?
Did you win the lotto?
Like, yeah, exactly. So people, they say one thing, but really they're implying another. And like, what I wanted to do in Three Little Truths, because I think this is the truth, is to have like, the people in the WhatsApp group, they just see this stuff out their windows. And so they make up their own truths based on very little information. And then the book shows you what actually the truth is. But I think that all the time, like in the WhatsApp group, the residence WhatsApp group I've been in, people just making complete assumptions. So a car was left for two nights. So someone assumed that it was involved in some kind of criminal activity.
Oh, yeah, of course.
You know, like, obviously, yes, that's what it is.
The person couldn't go on holiday.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Or the guards were on the road, so it must be some terrible criminal activity and not maybe, you know, parking fines or whatever. So like, I love that stuff. Like, people just make up their own version of the truth and then they just put it out there.
I'll give you a look at my WhatsApp group, the residence one, before you go. You can see some of the stuff being discussed there. So you bought a house since the last time you were in as well. Yes. Was that a very stressful experience?
Well, the actual buying it, no. I was so relieved to get it. Look, we were looking for ages and...
Because I think when you were in, you said to me that there was no hope of ever getting one.
Yeah, I think like on and off, we looked for 2 years, like maybe a year and a half all together, because we gave up for about 6 months in the middle and got sick of it. Ultimately managed to buy a house with the help of books. I got a really good book deal from the States for my second book, Grace After Henry, and for Three Little Truths as well. And basically I used that money and that just kind of bumped it up. And like, you know, okay, I can always say if I had bought the house in 2011, you know, I could have spent that money on something else, etc. But I just don't care, because all you want is somewhere to live and you're just so grateful to get
And you're
somewhere.
Not thinking about whether you're going to make money on it, whether you're going to lose money. You just want somewhere to live.
Yeah, it's not an investment. It's a home, you know, and we love it. Like, and actually when we bought it, when we first walked in, we were like, yeah, this house is grand. It'll do. And then, you know, we did work on it. We bought it September last year, and I'd say by May of this year, we were kind of happy with it. And now we love it, you know.
Yeah, did you get a few builders going, oh, now, doing the, do you know the kind of noises that they make? Ooh, big job there now.
Oh, and ramp up the price a little bit. Yeah, yeah. No, yeah, well, we had that. Like, we had builders come in and they knocked down our kitchen, which was awful. Like, every extension that seems to have gone up in the 90s, it's just, like, hated light. There's no windows. I couldn't understand why they built it. But we knocked it down and we did a Dermot Bannon on it. We just put windows everywhere. Like, light. And that was great. But the builder we got in, he gave me a price. And then he came back with a cost breakdown, and suddenly the price was literally 50% more. And I was like, no, this isn't actually room to improve. Like, my budget is my budget, you know? Do you know, on that show, they always seem to find an extra 50 grand.
Come here, like, I was only watching it the other night. They spent 305 grand on the renovation.
I know, that's
never mind the house.
Yeah, that's a new house. That's insane. I know. And like, I think our builder had been doing wealthier people's homes before he came to our home.
And you showed him your beans on toast and you said, you know what?
No, I was like, I wasn't making it up. Like, the price we agreed is the price. I don't have any more money, so like, start cutting stuff.
And they made it happen, did they?
Of course they did, and we were very happy with it. But you know, you're always a little skeptical. I think it's kind of like the dentist or or mechanics, you like, you trust them to an extent, but you also don't really know what they're doing, so you have to just take their word for it.
Yeah. So did you have this book written by the time you'd moved in, or is there some material from your actual own road?
No, I only started writing it really. I had been working 6 months on another book and I just scrapped it because it just wasn't happening. And I wrote this really quickly. It's the quickest I've written a book. So I actually started writing it around the time we moved into the house. And yeah, so one of the things is our house is quite near Crow Park.
I actually think you are living on my road. Go on.
Well, we'll check this afterwards. We'll check it afterwards. And there's a man that this now you'll know if it's similar. There's a man that charges for parking for like people that come up from the country for the match.
All right.
Right. Okay. And so
this is very familiar. Go on.
The first weekend we moved in, I was livid when I saw this guy outside charging. I was like, what a chance. He's just taking advantage of people who are coming up for the match. He doesn't own this land. No one owns it. It's public. He has no right to charge people to park in this area. And I was like gunning for him. And my partner was just like, please, Ethan, not the first week. Like, it was literally the first weekend. He's like, not the first weekend. We're not going to fall out with the neighbours. We've only just moved in. But I was like, it was obsessive. But anyway, so I just basically wrote a character based on him into the book. Some chancer that's obsessed with parking in the area and he charges for people to park on match days. So just take out your anger in fiction, you know.
I do sometimes think, because I also live very close to Crow Park, sometimes I'm thinking, great business opportunity there to sell Sambos and tea out the door.
Yeah, or scarves or whatever else you have going. And like, that's fair enough. Like, there's gorgeous kids, like you see on the way to Crow Park, it's selling, I think, lemonade or some kind of drink. That's lovely. But like, don't charge for what's already public parking.
Yeah, it's not yours.
It's not yours. And if people want to park there, they can park for free. Anyway, so I put that in the book. But a lot of it is, the road in the book, Pine Road, is based on the road I grew up on and my mom's WhatsApp group. So my mom is in a WhatsApp group with the women on her road that was supposedly set up for poker but is about everything else. But she goes mad, and I've like, literally every interview I'm doing, I say it's based on her road, and she's like, will you stop saying that? I still have to live here. Like, you know.
How do you get into one of these WhatsApp groups if you're not in one and you want to be nosy and in one, I wonder?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, my mom's one, I just look over her shoulder, you know.
Or I've no idea how I even got into this residence group.
Actually, yeah, you don't ask. Someone just adds you. You don't agree to be added.
Well, listen, Edna, so nice to see you after such a long time. 2 years. So it was 2 years since you were in.
Yeah, just over.
So I'd only had a new baby at the time as well.
Yeah.
Congratulations on your little man. He's an absolute stunner.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for coming in. You're going to give away a couple of books as well. You're going to sign a couple of copies and we'll give them away. So all you got to do to win that is, what will we get them to text in? Text in 3 to 087-188-0008, 087-188-0008, and it will send you a copy of Edna Shortall's brand new book. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Thanks
this
very much.
This is Something for the Weekend on Classic Hits.